I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators on a whole Mowgli field. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh shrubs. Call me privately.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Permaculture Pimpcast. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. We ain't talking about punks this week, so that's a good thing. Yeah. All right, y'all. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest. Also, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Apparently, a number of people are buying things out there, and I really want to get some of those guys from Heaven's Harvest on here to go into the full extent of what they have, because it's not just beans and bullets. Well, not the bullets so much, but honestly, they seem to have pretty good seeds. Mom's saying that the first ones have already popped up, and
yeah,
the germination peas. Rate is even better than she thought.
Were they the peas?
I think so.
I think the peas popped up. Yeah, I saw them this morning in the high tunnel. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll see how everything else goes. But honestly, hey, you go over there, 10% off with promo code PERMA. They got the storable food, all that good stuff. But so far, these seeds are looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not at all disappointed.
We actually have a comment, and we'll get on that later, but we actually have a comment from a guy on the YouTube channel talking about the seed and the germination rates and how it's most of the time not really the supplier that... Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah, I guess we'll hop to it later. All right, y'all, remember, you can check us out on the Fountain app where you can listen to all your podcasts. Also, you can tip a pimp over there. That's what I'm talking about. You can drop a little bit of Sestoshi on there, or, you know, you can go there and do what I do typically when I'm listening to podcasts, and not so much these days. I'll get into that in a minute. But when you do, go over there, check it out. You can triple up the speed or double it up, however you prefer. And also the most important part, that you can tip a pimp. And speaking of a tip, all right, this is important because you and I,
tip of the day.
Yeah, the tip of the day. So we go from tip a pimp to tip of the day is, or tip from a pimp. And pimp, for those that don't know, stands for permaculture is my passion, as you probably know by this point. Anyway. Beware of those municipal compost depots.
Same thing.
Yeah, 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 no kidding.
Same thing.
You know, Mike Adams has a really good documentary. It came out a while ago. It's called Biosludged. And I suggest everybody out there go check it out. Now, everybody's thinking that just because this stuff is black, it's dark, it looks rich, and it's got a lot of stuff in it. Son, you know as well as I do that 9 times out of 10, most of that stuff is absolutely void of, first of all, no nitrogen. Sean the Modern Yeoman, I remember telling him that when I saw what he brought over there.
Yeah.
And then also, if you'll find out, check out that movie Biosludged, you're going to find out that this stuff was never even composted correctly.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're using human sewage.
And then there's some soil scientists that say you should only take it home if you're being paid to.
Yeah.
So you can get paid to fix it use it as compost.
Well, I'm bringing that up right now because everybody, Joel Salatin, you hear me talking about it all the time. He talks about this homestead tsunami, and it's happening.
Yeah.
It's really, really happening. I mean, folks, you would not believe some of the deals we're turning down. Because there are powers that shouldn't be, that realize that everybody and the great grandmother is starting to see the writing on the wall. Everything's falling apart, and they know that the smart portion of society is realizing, hey, I got to start growing my food. Oh, I know. Let's go check out Permapasture's farm. We'll figure out how to raise pigs for 21 cents a pound and how to raise all of our chickens for free, how to make compost, how to do all this stuff. And, of course, you know, the YouTube algorithms and things like that probably suppress a fair amount of that, despite there being record numbers of people doing that out there. So I'm saying all this because a lot of you are in the sound of my voice right now are thinking, oh, shoot, I can go down there and go get a bunch of compost. Believe me, it's worth absolutely nothing. Municipal supplies, if I had a nickel back before we knew better, we used them.
Oh, yeah, we did. And we thought it was a steal at like 10 bucks for however much you wanted.
A whole dump trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just to come to find out that stuff was absolutely junk. And then when we lived in Texarkana, they had the same or near Texarkana.
Actually, was that stuff junk? You think?
Yes.
Because that was in Lawrence, Kansas, where they were like
the one in Lawrence was not bad.
Yeah,
it was not bad at all. In fact, the one in Lawrence, Kansas, was not bad. The one I remember all the others that we went to. I remember that one in Texas one time in Texarkana. We didn't get it, but somebody else that we won't name did. And he swore up and down this stuff was fantastic. He went to plant everything. It was all yellow. So your mom's thinking, okay, well, there's no nitrogen. She went and tested it. It was void of nitrogen and potassium.
Hold on, hold on. This isn't the full story. He bought all that compost, added dog food,
yeah,
and claimed he made it.
Yeah, yeah, claimed like he made it.
He made this compost
because
he added dog food to it.
Yeah. You see that compost I made? I'm like, well, there ain't no nitrogen in it, bro. I mean, there, yeah, you couldn't. Yeah, there's some people in this world, y'all, you just can't tell anything to. Well, speaking of where you can go to listen to somebody that has something to say, Farm Where You Live is going to be having a ballin' event. It's going to be April 15th. You can get 10% off with promo code PERMA as well. I'm really encouraging everybody to go to this. I'm telling you the reasons why. It's not, look, I don't care who else is on that billing. The number one person that everybody should be listening to right now is the pimp daddy of Polyface himself, Joel Salatin. He is going to be there. Listen to everything that man has to say. I don't know how many times you've heard me say, look, there's no way I'd be where I am right now. No way. If it wasn't for Joel Salatin.
And he sits at a table and answers questions for you.
Yeah. He's approachable. He's down to earth. You want to go there if for no other reason. Yeah, it is cool to fellowship with other people like that. You'll find out at every one of these festivals that you just automatically get along with everybody else around you because everybody is kind of an outlier where they came from. It is, they're the weird people. They're the people that actually care about their food. Now you're in the company of a bunch of other people that, I'm not going to say feel it or think exactly like you. It's just the...
But you're all guaranteed to have at least one thing in common.
Exactly. And in fact, if you're one of those people that, you know, because there are a fair amount of homesteaders that are rather introverted, and you want to get them out of that quickly, honestly, go up to them and just ask them what they do. Ask them what it is that they do. And I guarantee you, they are going to come loose.
Yeah, and if you are one of those shy people that's concerned about just approaching and or talking to people, like try to think of one time in your life when anybody has ever just completely, like off the bat, made fun of you because you came up and talked to them. Like, or ridiculed you in any kind of way, or was anything negative. Like, how many times off the top of your head can you think of people that just react that way?
I can think of one. In fact, when your Uncle Dion comes out here, yeah, I'm going to dog him, too.
This is the opposite effect we're trying to do.
I know, but I can think of one. Dude, and I'm going to bust his chops when he gets here. We were in high school, and I remember we were like, go up and talk to this girl. And he goes up there, he tries to say, and she just stops in the middle of a conversation she was in. She looks over and says, bye. He's like, hey, but bye. And then we were like, you got dissed by the, you know, I mean, it was, I'm sorry, son. I know you're making a profound point, but I know he's listening right now and he's going to get on this microphone when he finally gets here and he's going to lie about it. But y'all heard it from the horse's mouth right off.
Was it a hood rat he went and approached?
No. It was this girl. It was I can't remember the girl's name, but he, you know, he won state. He was a state champion wrestler in, you know, Oklahoma. And, you know, had a lot going for him and everything. And all the girls liked him. He's a good-looking dude. And he went up there, thought he would try to – he just never had any confidence talking to girls. He went up there. So you're saying, okay, look, y'all, in full disclosure, there's that one-off one in a million times. You may be a guy named Dion, and then you get dissed by this girl. And then you walk back with your hat in your hand, you know.
Of course, all right, well, this isn't the South Side of Oklahoma City, so everybody will behave themselves.
Yeah, yeah, so you don't have to worry about that sort of thing. You're not going to have any thugs or, you know, none of the people I necessarily grew up with. But, yeah, definitely go check these things out, y'all. And despite some of the emails and everything, no, there's not going to be a homestead beatdown. There won't, unless you just absolutely want me to slap you. No. No, there won't be any of that. So, yeah, somebody, I don't know who put it out there and made it go a little further. Like, hey, man, I heard you're going to be a fist fight. I'm like, no, what? No, dude, go back and listen to the doggone thing. That was called comedy.
And if anybody watched the Boondocks, if you do want a fist fight, all you have to do is throw a chair
into a crowd.
And then a fight ensues.
And I got a lot of positive response, actually. And from some black folks regarding that last thing, they were in full agreement too. They are every bit as appalled by what's going on in this thug culture as I am. So we'll drift right on into the farm news. Well, I went out there this morning, cut down a lot of the multi-floor rows that we had come back. We had largely eradicated it because we were, when your soil's good, you don't have bad things happening. When you neglect it or you overgraze it or you do foolish things like get yourself way too busy that you screw up your grazing pattern, things get messed up. But the good thing is we know how to bring it back in balance.
Right.
So what were you out doing today besides weed eating like crazy?
Well, kind of everything. Went and got rock, went and got hay for the bare spots, like in the forest that we're turning into silver pasture. Chopped down some of those... like saplings that are regrowing in between that silver pasture. As we speak, I have a thorn stuck in my middle finger right now that won't come out. I was running around all day for the most part. Edited a video. That's out, by the way, where that Flumington?
Nobody can ever say it right, man.
Flumation fame.
No, everybody says it. Flumington, I think, is the name of it.
I keep seeing an I after that T.
I know. Everybody does. Everybody does. I wasn't the only one doing it.
Flumington famous. He teaches you how to graft trees.
Yeah.
What was it? $50 for an entire orchard.
Yeah, when you get down to brass tacks, I mean, even if you were to go out there and just grow your own rootstock, he's out for the rootstock, of course, and that's almost nothing.
A dollar a piece.
Yeah, he was very, very impressive, he and his wife. And honestly, there was more footage, of course, I wish we could have put in a video where they built a little teardrop camper and they do all their stuff in that.
Yeah.
But look, y'all, you can go down. I went to one of the local garden stores, the one over, just town over.
Yeah.
And... I went in there, and for a tree the size I was standing, I'm telling you, that thing was $150.
Yeah,
and I'm watching these elderly ladies primarily in there getting these things, and I'm just like gritting my teeth because I know what they did in a lot of these things. They took bare root. I mean, I saw this. In fact, I almost yanked it out of the pot just to see. They're taking bare root, maybe a 1-2-year-old bare root. They're putting it in a 5-gallon pot, and they're ripping people off. So that's
what it is. I mean, that's what a lot of people are paying for, is just like exactly that.
Well, they're doing that now. That wasn't always the case. In fact, you get a lot of those pots and they'd be root bound and stuff like that. Yeah. But really, y'all, it is not hard at all. You can do it with a pocket knife and some electrical tape. Randall's going to show you a more higher end way of doing it. But it was a joy to meet him. And he's one of the ones I met out there. Came up, we hit it off right off, and it was a joy to be around. I can't wait to get him on the show and talk about the full extent of what he's doing. And I now consider him among my coaches.
Yeah.
There's things I know a lot more about in terms of orcharding. There's the things that he knows a lot more about. And just sitting there, I can't believe I almost said sitting there conversating. Sitting there conversing with one another. Yeah, but I put in some work today.
You quoted Snoop Dogg too many times on the show.
You know, it do what it do, baby. I'm over there talking with him, and, you know, we're cross-pollinating, you know, forgive the pun, in the most massive way where I'm like, okay, like, for example, what do you have a trick to keep labels on trees that don't fade?
Yeah.
And we talked about it on Patreon.
Yeah.
I gave that over on Patreon. He had a nifty trick that he learned from an old hand at doing this orcharding. And for the longest time, I never could. I was like, this is the bane of my existence, man. You can never find a tag that stays on the tree, that doesn't fade, that doesn't do any of that stuff. And then just by having this conversation with this really bright guy and his wife, all of a sudden, got that nut cracked.
Yep.
And it can't happen unless, and that's one of the many things you're going to find out when you go out to these different places. Well, your mom, she was aggravated today for a whole variety of reasons. She just feels like she's taking one step forward, one step back. Can't really get ahead on things. And today I told her, look, hey, she's she wears so many hats like we all do around here. I said, look, just do yourself a favor. Just stop what you're doing. Go out and plant something. So she went out working on the potatoes, and honestly, her attitude was a whole lot better when she came back.
So what you said was, quit complaining and get to work. No.
Okay, yeah, your mom will be listening to this episode, Jack. No, that's not really it. It was, she was, I know the feeling. I mean, I get it all the time. Every day doesn't go like today does for me. And you feel like you're making some headway, and then bam, there's just one little thing that sets you back. There's a series of things that kind of set her back, and it's not her fault. It's just the way it goes, and it's just one of them days.
Yeah.
So, you know, she got out there and did all that. So she's off and running again. Hey, y'all, don't forget also the Pig Butchery is going to be April 28th and 29th and also May 5th and 6th. With So the Lamb, we're going to leave that, what, linked in the show, right?
Yep. Always is.
Yep. So check it out. If you can't use it, somebody else might. Look, y'all, I'm not paying a fear game. You know I don't do that. I don't ever offer problems without giving you solutions. And you have got to be living under a rock if you don't see what's happening right now. All the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, all these others, and then even Mexico and all these others, Saudi Arabia, yeah, are also talking about getting on board with what's going on there. This thing, I'm not going to say it's falling off the rails, but doggone it, if it ain't, it sure looks like it is. And I'll be honest with you. This is going to be the last time this year I do any classes. And if you want to learn this skill, if you think you're going to wait till next time, I don't know that you got till next time. I'll be honest with you. Because truth is, there's a lot of things that we need to do around here. And after this, unless there's some extenuating circumstance that I don't know about, it's probably going to be the last time I'm doing any sort of workshop or anything. Unless it's something that just pops up, it's really local, really easy, really fast, and really close, I'm just not going to be doing it. And when I say easy, I mean where it doesn't require a whole lot out of me in terms of preparation, because we have got a lot of preparedness that we're doing around here, yeah, and it's nonstop. It's never ending. So that's exactly, like, you know, for example, one of the new, we're about to, I don't want to give it away just yet, but we are about to do a new composting tea, yeah, method, and there's all these different irons in the fire that we can't yet talk about, because we got to make sure this thing absolutely works. We got a product that I feel really awesome about that we got to test, and it's about preparedness. I'm doing nearly everything we're doing right now is about preparedness. It's putting in more food than we ever have, putting back as much food as we can, having things put back for other people that might be friends or family, whatever the case may be, because I really think, like Shakespeare said, now is the winter of our discontent, even though it's spring, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Things are getting crazy. And so this is going to be probably the last time this year, y'all, I'm in any kind of public setting, because there's things that we have got to work on right here. So that's definitely going to be happening. So with that said, y'all, we're going to go straight into my pastor, the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. As we get ready to celebrate the greatest day in human history this weekend, Resurrection Sunday morning, I want to share two verses of scripture with us today. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. I am so glad to know that that morning when Mary Magdalene, the disciples, ran to the tomb, it was empty. Jesus was not there. He had risen, as he said. And I'm so glad to know that that tomb is still empty today. He is alive forevermore. So I encourage you today, accept him as your Lord and Savior. It'll be the greatest decision you could ever make, and it'll be the one that'll last throughout all eternity.
Oh, shoot. Best decision I ever made, y'all. Pastor Lon, y'all, he's even going to be there. Him and Miss Robbie, they're going to be at the farm where you live.
Yeah.
And
I think there's going to be a prayer tent there, too.
Well, maybe Josh and them want to, maybe they want to reach out to Pastor Lon. I know he's going to be there. I'm excited to see him, man. Every time you get, he's a wise man. Miss Robbie's as sweet as can be. Last time I saw them, we went out and ate at the farmer's daughter up in Tennessee. And, man, I was eating like my belly button was touching my backbone, man. I was starving. And they must have thought I was a total hog, man, because I couldn't quit putting it down. But he says a lot right there, y'all. make no bones about the fact that I am a blood-bought soldier of Christ, and I am happy to say it from every mountaintop I'm ever on, and that's a big component of our show. So be sure to check out Homesteading Pastor on YouTube, Instagram, the whole nine yards. And like I said, you will be edified. And honestly, they're doing some pretty awesome stuff at their place as well.
Yeah, they're transitioning into like a rotational grazing setup.
Yes, yes.
So if you're interested in that, check that out.
Yeah, they're putting in orchards, guilds, the whole nine yards. I wish they'd cover maybe a little. I know they're busy as all get out, but I would love to see the development on what they've done. They were the ones I learned getting those $5 trees from.
Yeah.
I mean, you go get 20 trees for $5 or however many you can, and only one of them takes root, you're still money ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Guarantee you're more money ahead than spending $150 on those pots at them highfalutin nurseries.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guarantee that. All right, so y'all, we're going to jump right into the bad news, good news section. Bad news ain't even an article, and it should be. Son, have you noticed, and we kind of brought it up the last time, nobody is talking about the train derailment up in Ohio?
Yeah, that's completely forgotten about. But they did bring up something else. It was spilling, I can't remember what chemical, but directly into the Ohio River.
Yeah, dioxins and stuff.
I can't remember exactly what chemical it was, but it was this barge that had crashed into the side of this bridge.
Oh, that's something. That's something else.
Yeah, and it was just dumping toxins into the Ohio River.
Yeah, I ain't believing.
Which goes into the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, which is killing everything down. I mean, y'all, this is just absolutely dreadful what's going on up there. And I'm waiting for Mike Adams to get that little thing in his lab where he can actually test for dioxins. That's going to take some time.
Yeah.
And honestly, nobody's talking about it. I mean, with the news cycle being what it is, and now you got this latest thing with Trump, it's like distraction after distraction after distraction. Meanwhile, real life people up there are suffering, and almost certainly, I mean, I'm not gonna jump the shark here, but I am gonna say that there are some massive problems up there, and nobody's talking about it.
What if the whole reason we are supposed to pray over our food is to remove the toxins from the food?
Hey.
What if that is like the entire, like God knew from the beginning that eventually dioxins were going to be dumped and that we had to pray over our food to remove the toxins?
Well, I know we prayed for the good Lord of providing it, but certainly that ain't going to hurt none.
No.
I mean, especially, I mean, you know, people as well as I do that won't eat. They come over your house and they sit here and they like half taste test things, but they'll eat from Sonic every single day.
Yep.
Even though you know how I live and you know the food we grow, but you're going to sit here and have, I mean, that's a whole nother story on the get, but it floors you. Everything's backwards. And you know, it's just a mess up one side and down the other. I'm really getting to the point where I'm like, okay, well, we've hit that level of depravity that only starvation can cure, but yeah, hey, it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be us.
But we also, I don't think we have to reach starvation in order for the, like, us to take back over or to, like, it's, yeah, you, I don't think we have to reach starvation. I don't know if we have to reach that point. We just need enough people to be tired of this.
Yeah, that's an irate minority, but you, it was like, you know, every single benchmark along the way, you're thinking, okay, well, this'll hit it, this'll hit it, this'll hit it. When they decided to go ahead and start putting that poison in kids and nobody really stood up to it for the most part, I'm like, okay, we have hit this level of depravity that only starvation cures. I mean, knowing what I know about Roman history, where they literally had fish jumping onto the bank, and the people in Rome had become so stupid, they didn't even know what to do with it because the slaves had already did him out of there. And then you have literally the people in the stands at the Colosseum yelling down to the gladiator that just got murdered on the floor, how much for that meat? I think we've hit that point.
What if we haven't, though? And whenever they did bring up those injections for all the kids, what if there were a large amount of people that just resisted or flat out ignored it or didn't do it, but they never reported on that because that would show that we have power? And then all these news agencies that we listen to that we think is providing good news are just shills, and then they're making it seem as if, oh yeah, nobody's doing anything about it. What if that's the case?
I'm sure that's part of it too. I'm just going on my everyday interactions with folks, and by and large, most people, it seems, now, excuse me, it seems most people really could not care less. Clearly, if people are listening to this podcast, and a number of people are, obviously, you care, And I'd be curious to hear from another. I mean, if we could ever do that call-in thing where we could ever do this live, maybe we do it on YouTube sometime.
Yeah.
And do it live there. Maybe we could have people reach out, because it would be cool. Jack Spirico told me we ought to do it anyway for the interaction. I think we ought to try it sometime, and maybe we will here in the future. So we'll just kind of drift on into the good news, because I think we've heard enough of the bad here. It may not be good to you, good news to you, but, and I'm really trying to drift away from the politics, but I love this news. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to run for president. Now, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. The reason why I say this is good is, well, at least so far, because I don't know where he stands on a number of issues. But I can tell you this. These pharmaceutical companies, shoot, man, they are going to get dealt with. But additionally, I think he would probably do more, and I know he would, to get to the bottom of what exactly happened November 22nd, 1963. And what happened when his dad died. I think they, well, just like his dad, Robert F. Kennedy, was running for president. Of course, they killed him out there in L.A., and that whole thing stank to high heaven. Sirhan's in the front, but he gets shot behind the ear. I think he would want to get to the bottom of a great many things. What really happened to Chappaquiddick? I mean, I really think, and I almost fear for him to a certain extent, is that, like his dad, they knew that if he ever made it to the stage, if there was ever a vote, Robert F. Kennedy was going to win. So they had to snuff him out. But at least if he were in there, I think this dude is solid enough. Now, I don't know where he stands on a number of other issues, but I can tell you what, this whole thing with pharmaceutical industries running around, I think at least he could inject it. He could put enough red pills out there just by running, even though he may not get the nomination or win. I think he could put enough red pills out there for the normies. When they hear that Kennedy name, they're going to pay attention, even the whack jobs. And then when he tells them what's going on with the pharmaceutical space and all these other things, it might just be the catalyst to wake up a number of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have more hope towards that dude than I do. I think, I don't know, anytime we're looking at like the anybody running for office to change anything for the better, there's not much evidence showing that that's actually going to happen.
No, I agree with you. What I'm saying, what I'm really getting at is that I want him, I guess I can maybe tighten this up a little bit. What I'm hoping he will do is interject enough truth out there to wake up that irate minority you were talking about. Possibly. Because he's the kind of guy that could bridge the gap on so many different things. All right, y'all, one last thing, and this is a pretty cool article. Of course, it is relating to really more farming and permaculture. Research reveals moths are more efficient night pollinators than bees.
Huh.
Yeah, that moths do more in terms of pollination at night. I never even gave that a second thought about anything even pollinating anything at night.
I always thought moths as like the pests or something, like they're going to be eating.
That's what everybody thinks.
Like yeah. I don't know why, I just assumed that.
Yeah, I did too. So, I mean, that's maybe, speaking of red pill, we just got red pilled, all of us right there. Yeah,
about moths.
Because I never even thought about the night predators. It is embarrassing that I never once ever even thought about that.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of critters are rolling around there, you know, walking up the stem? I mean, maybe they go to one plant, they're in there, and then they roll over to the next one. Yeah. It never even occurred to me that this is even happening at night.
It makes sense. I mean, all of them are covered in like dust and tiny hairs. It makes sense that they would be better pollinators than bees.
Yeah. And that's what this article claims, you know. It's, you know, we all learned something else out there. I was really excited about that news because I'm thinking, okay, this is my vocation. This is what I do. This is what I do for a living. And it never once occurred to me, how embarrassing is that? It never once occurred to me that all this is happening at night.
Yeah.
Wow. How cool is that? All right, y'all, when we get into it, we're going to jump right into the main topic. Sitting at Mandakati, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Living kamikaze, got me out. Ain't no Tamagotchis up in this studio, ain't that right, son?
I don't even know what a Tamagotchi is.
Yeah, it's like an automaton, man.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You're going to have to narrow it down a little. That's such a broad category.
Like he says, I'm just now.
You mean a robot?
Hey, man, I'm just now understanding what he said in the first song, man. So, hey, we'll just keep it real. Hey, before we get into it, y'all, remember, EMP Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. You want to, hey, I'm not going to belabor the point. You know what's going on in this world. The EMP Micro is absolutely the cat's meow. So, not 10% off, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Yeah, these things ain't cheap, but hey.
$50 off each device.
Yes.
So if you buy three devices, you save $150.
Yeah, so make sure you get out there if you feel like you need it. The biggest threat that I see is always, a lightning strike to the house. Yeah. That's the number one thing. And if you have any damage whatsoever, they're guaranteed. That's the whole reason I reached out to EMP Shield. They didn't reach out to me, just like anybody else. If you hear me advertise it, believe me, I went to them. You want to check that out. And also, Ben and Denise over at Renewed Homestead. Remember, they have Hori knives.
Hori knives, which are like the trowel / serrated knife / yeah. sharpened edge / ruler / it's like a multi-tool for gardening.
I keep wanting to call this thing a Hori knife.
That's what it's called, Hori.
Hori Cory, I don't know. I keep messing it up. Anyway, check out Renewed Homestead if you want one of those, y'all. All right, let's jump right into the topic. Y'all, this is, today I just started the 75 Hard program. If you're new to this, basically for 75 days straight, basically you stick to a diet, no deviations whatsoever. Every single day, you do a 45-minute inside workout, 45-minute outside workout. You have to read at least 10 pages of a book, drink a gallon of water, and you got to take a picture of yourself. Every single day you got to do all this every single day for 75 days. William just got finished with this program. And Kendra, my niece, and I are just now starting the program. So.
And mom's starting it tomorrow.
Yeah, she's starting it tomorrow. I'm doing it today. Kendra's doing it today. And this is my first day into it. But that's not really what this topic is about. Folks, I'm telling you from a position of experience, set hard, lofty, difficult goals. This is one where, I'll be honest, one of the biggest drawbacks that kept me from doing it is I'm always trying to find the right time. I'm like, okay, wait till I get less busy. Wait till I'm, and then finally Kendra came up to me and said, hey, Uncle Billy, we're going to do this thing. When are we going to do this 75 hard? Now, when your little niece is asking you this, you're feeling like I'm like, man, I've got this event to do. I got this to do. I got that to do. I got all these things I need to get done. And I'm like, I gave her my word, like, okay, we'll go ahead and do it on Thursday.
Yeah.
Day after she got back from her latest trip in New York. And I'm sitting here, I'll be honest with y'all. I'm sitting here thinking, how do I possibly get done what I've been doing every single day, y'all? There is not a spare minute from the time I wake up till the time I go to bed where I am not doing something. And there are very little pockets.
Like, for example, we made a joke not too long ago about getting rid of the TV in the living room because we don't use it. Yeah. I can't even. What was the last time we looked at it?
I honestly can't remember the last time it was turned on.
But it'd be a good place to store product.
yeah, no kidding. Yeah. But I mean, you gotta, I jumped onto this because I'm realizing, you know what, like they said in that one fantasy movie, you know what, I think I'm about ready for another adventure.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I'm about ready for another adventure. It's not that I don't have enough on my plate, because I do. I can't even answer text messages half the time in a reasonable amount of time. I'm running businesses. I'm running a farm. I have work to do. I have a lot on my plate. And I'm thinking, how on earth am I possibly going to make this work? Well, I'm going to tell y'all right off. This is my first day into it. And I'll be honest with you. Not only did I do everything but take the picture so far.
Yeah.
And, I drank, maybe because I was busting my butt out there today, I probably drank a gallon and a half of water.
Yeah, the gallon part is easy. I think the gallon part especially is easy with the work that we do. If we were sitting in an office all day, then I can see where the gallon part might be difficult.
I'm an avid reader anyway, or at least I'd like to be. I don't get to do that as much. So to have me 10 pages, okay, I did that in like 2 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
And so I'm realizing, okay, yeah, this is a discipline thing. But y'all, here's what I'm getting at. And maybe it applies differently to you. Do you have business goals? Maybe you're sick and tired of working for the man. Do you have farm goals? A lot of people, we just talked about this homesteading tsunami that's going on right now. Are you looking to make that transition? Because that's a question I get a lot. Are you looking to make that transition from a full-time job where you're working as maybe a corporate sharecropper and you want to drift your way over into doing this full-time? Well, dreams must be implemented with deeds. So what are you doing to make that happen? Do you have study goals? Because I do, and I had them before I even started this program.
Yeah.
Every single day. Y'all, one thing I have done, and I kind of teased it out a little bit in the first part, I've been listening to podcasts every single day. A lot of it is informing me about what's going on in this world from a different perspective. I had to cut that out in order to do this educational program I have. And the way I've been doing it, son, is that I won't go into what that is right now.
Yeah,
I kind of teased it out before. But basically, you watch videos and then you got to take quizzes. If you don't pass the quiz, you don't get a second chance and you don't move on. So it's highly consequential. So one of the methods that I kind of invented for myself was that, okay, I got to replace some of the podcasts I've been listening with to going with this educational material that I kind of inoculate my brain with while I'm working. So I do that twice, and some of these things are about an hour long. And I do this twice. And then when I finally do get a chance to look at the material, I have a pretty decent understanding without ever after having looked at it. I take some notes and then bam, I take the test and I ace it. So do you have study goals? Because in order to make all this happen, and I'm having to remove things out of the plate.
You said at the beginning, set lofty goals.
Yes.
Now think of all the times you've been told to set achievable goals, and then think of the type of person who told you that.
Yes.
That's a very good point.
That's
what I was just thinking of whenever you said set lofty goals. Because like I've heard that before multiple times, like especially from Andy Frazella, is like set like goals borderline unachievable type stuff. But it just clicked. Like the only people telling you to set achievable ones are not the people you wouldn't want to emulate their life. It's not like you would want to switch shoes with that person.
Or ask that same person that's saying pick lousy goals. Examine their lives.
Yeah.
And see if they are people that are products of this. When I say lofty goals, I'm not saying like something like I'm going to be president of the United States in a year, okay? Well, I don't want to get shot, first of all. Second of all, I mean, realistic goals, I have goals. Do you have, and that's what I'm getting into. Do you have fitness goals? Because part of this 75 hard is, as far as the diet I've chosen, it's intermittent fasting, where I basically eat within a very narrow window. And also I'm getting rid of the gluten from my life and the sugar, the refined sugar. If it's got gluten or refined sugar in it, I'm not going to eat it. And that's going to happen for 75 days. And I already feel better.
Here's an example. So an achievable goal for me, like one of the achievable goal for me would be get a retail store in our town that where we can sell product and stuff like that. The lofty goal is conquer Asheville. The lofty goal is to take over an entire city and bring it back to what it could be.
Well, son, people aren't even getting off the fence because of, they've been saddled by fear. And folks, I am not blaming you. I'm talking about the indoctrination system that I have been part of, and it took forever and a day. This is why I've trained my son to not fall for it. And I'm training my niece to not fall for it.
So
I'm training, you didn't take a whole lot of, you had to come further, a little less out of the matrix than the rest of, because you've been raised out of the matrix.
Yeah. I don't know that I was ever in the matrix.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I was awake by the time you,
I mean, I was arguing with teachers about whether or not we landed on the moon.
Yeah. So you were getting that education at the dinner table at night, the way the founding fathers were kind of educated. So, and then you were trained to also be an autodidact, and folks, that's what you really ought to want your, but as far as these goals, my fitness goals is okay. At the end of the 75 days, I'm going to be as hard as 3x9. I'm going to be in as good a shape as I was when I was 21 years old in the Army. I have faith goals as well. And I talked about it before where I felt it was the Lord put it on my heart to learn Psalm 91. Look, I can memorize. It kind of blows people away sometimes. One of the talents I do have is that it doesn't take me long to memorize things. But it's not just a rote mechanical response. It's memorizing it and knowing what these words mean. That's a lofty goal to me when I say I have faith goals. Do you have family goals? Because it was like Josh, man, I wish I could. He wrote the book Evangelpreneur.
Josh Tolley.
And like he was talking about, okay, what are your family goals? Think about this, y'all. I really want you to think about this. And I don't know that Josh Tolley ever made it. It may have been a construct of my own mind. I don't know that. What I do know is that back when you and your mom, or me and your mom, were working full-time, both of us didn't have to, but we were trying to get that brass ring because we always led something of a low-consumption lifestyle anyway. When we're out there going after this brass ring, think about this. You get up in the morning, you get dressed, you get out the door, you go to work. The best hours that you are cognizant of the day, you are spending with strangers.
Yeah.
And then your family, the people you love most, they get what's left over. There's something very wrong about that construct. Now, what if I could take that same construct, wake up in the morning, work with my family, build something worthwhile, and then not ever have to interact with, you know, people? Because when you're at a job and you're working for somebody else, you don't choose who you are around.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have that. So you give the very worst that you have to offer at the end of the day. So do you have family goals? Because you should. You should. Because really, what are you going to work for? What's all this for? If you don't have goals on that, then really, do you have mental goals? You know, part of what I'm doing with this program, it is a mental program that no matter what, you have got to achieve these things in the course of a day. Folks, I'm here to tell you that today, even though I don't know where the energy came from. Well, clearly from the Almighty, but I don't know. I can't remember the last time I got more done in my life. I can't remember.
Dad, just remember this is the first day.
Yeah, and it's not always going to be that way. But I'm saying I was nervous right from the outset of thinking, how am I going to do the things I have to do every day and add this to it? How am I possibly going to do that? Well, you did it, and in fact, that was the best version of you I ever saw, was while you were doing that program. So I'm like, okay, my son inspired me to say, okay, he has a workload and he's having to get things done and he's got a lot on his plate, but he did it no matter what. I saw you out there in the rain. I saw you out there doing it no matter what.
Every single day. Wait till that 10 o'clock outdoor workout comes along. And that's not to discourage you at all, because you kind of, once those situations pop up, you get like a burst of energy.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is that maybe part of my background that helps is that I know what it's like to live in, from a military standpoint, I know what it's like to be in a difficult circumstance for a long period of time. For example, let's say you're outside in the military, and depending on the job you have, this may not apply, but you're out there and it's freezing cold, and you ain't going to no house at the end of the day. You're not going to sleep on a bed. You're going to be under a poncho liner with your homeboy, and you're going to try to make the most of it. And you're going to try to try not to freeze. Okay, same thing in the heat. And then do this day after day after day in the Middle East with no rest. I mean, with no real rest, no sleeping on a real bed, and never taking a shower that whole time, you know. So it's like there are parts of my life that have already prepared me for however hard this thing may become. But at the same time, I realize that I have gotten soft. My diet was lousy. I'm eating gluten, sugar, things I know that I'm not supposed to ever eat at every doggone meal. And I'm like, okay, this has gotten out of hand. I've got to straighten. It's going way out of. So that brings me also, do you have strength goals? You know, do you have, I mean, every single facet of my life, I have goals in them. And then these aren't things that I'm not working toward. Like I said, a guy with a lot of sense once wrote, dreams must be implemented with deeds. You can sit here and wish all day long. I know a whole lot of people in my family. Well, if I had it to do over again, what? You're doing it now.
Yeah.
Why wait to do it over again? Do it now. There are certain things that you can't control, or certain things I cannot control, these polecats that are ripping this country apart, that are intentionally trying to destroy it, at least from my point of view. But I can't control what goes in my mouth.
Yeah, I can't control what I think. You can't control how insulated you are from all of that.
Yes.
You can't control whether or not you have community built up before that.
And so before I started this 75 hard, I had already started doing that. I titrated myself down from this battery of podcasts that I'd listen to all day and replaced a fair portion of that with educational material that I need that is going to make me a much better farmer, that is going to make me a better educator, that's going to make me a better permaculture designer, that's going to open up other opportunities. And frankly, it's going to help an awful lot of you out there. As soon as I get this nut cracked, as soon as I get this additional training, it's going to change everything we've been doing onto another level.
And also this 75 hard, okay, so Dad said set lofty goals in the beginning. The 75 hard teaches you how to achieve those goals. And it's by taking actionable steps every single day towards your goals. It's not something like, okay, this week I'm going to achieve this goal. It's until the goal is achieved, I'm going to take steps towards it every single day.
So I'm doing that in addition to the power list. I started with the power list, and then I found myself for a while there, like, oh, okay, I didn't hit the mark today. And it would irritate the living crap out of me because I can't stand to have something on my list and of, you know, things I got to get done that day and don't do it. And then all of a sudden I pulled my bootstraps up and said, okay, you're going to get this done, Jack. You're going to do it despite all these distractions, despite, you know, this, whatever. Like I said, there are text messages that aren't getting answered because I have goals. I have got to order my life and order the direction of it in a way. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful people out there, but I just don't have, I never did have time to do a whole lot of texting or anything like that, but it's just going to have to, there are other things I have got to get done.
Yeah. And also one main thing we should say about the texting is that if we're not in the house, we don't have service.
Yeah.
So it's not like if we're out, we can text. It's like, oh, you go up to the house and then you get a barrage of texts and then it's, yeah.
Yeah, and you just don't have, I mean, we have got so many irons in the fire like so many others do, but look, we are trying. I mean, when I say we, I'm talking about me right now. I'm not a me kind of person, but if I'm going to be the best dad, husband, uncle, these days you could say aunt too, but I mean, if I'm going to be any of those things, if I'm going to be any of those things, then I got to be the best version of me. I got to know, you know, you may not always get a response from me. When you email me, it's always easier because I allocate time to do those things.
Yeah.
Now, I can't give you a lengthy response half the time, and sometimes I may not even respond if I intend to respond on the show. So that also helps as well. But y'all, there are tons of opportunities right under your nose. And at this time where it seems like everything's falling apart in the United States of Amnesia, it seems like all of that is falling apart. This is the time where you really got to pull it together, not only for yourself, but for everybody out there. About Elon buying Twitter like he gon' save us, left and right squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though, get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie. Alrighty, it is definitely a woke summer, it's gonna be, I'm sure. Alright, y'all, to the Q&A section. This is one I meant to get to last week. For some reason, Donna, I don't know what happened. I was so perplexed I couldn't even see straight. Donna, sorry, I'm just now getting to it. I don't know what's happening. And by the way, some of y'all that send emails, I run into you at some of these events. You're like, I emailed you. Look, I don't know what's going on. Some of these emails I'm just not getting. And, you know, hopefully yours gets through. For some reason, Donna's disappeared, and I don't know what happened there. It was driving me crazy because I wrote, yeah, I'll answer on the Pimpcast. Anyway, she says, I love the Pimpcast and the YouTube channel. I live in Texas and interested in all this information. My question is, in the orchard, I kind of understand nitrogen fixer fruit concept, but was wondering if you can plant a nut tree in the system.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely you can. just be careful that some of these are allopathic.
Yeah, like black walnuts. Be careful with that because you won't have a guild.
No. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that don't want to grow around things like black. Just make sure it's not allopathic or walnut, anything like that.
The NAP pattern, N stands for nitrogen fixer, so any nitrogen fixer that applies. A stands for apple, and P stands for pear. Apple and pear just... there's just the distinction that those two trees are different cultivars. So that way you're not putting all Macintosh apple all up and down your orchard and calling it good. It's just, it confuses the pests and all that stuff.
It's nitrogen fixer, apple, pear. It could be nitrogen. As long as that third one is a nitrogen fixer, you know, watch your spacing. Make sure you get the right root stock and know what the roots, what the spacing ought to be for that. Yep. It's going to be different, a little bit different everywhere, but it's really not too difficult. Absolutely, you can put that in there.
Let me, I got one from Jed on the Fountain app. Let me start by saying I admire your conviction. And this is in reference to the Liberals versus Hood Rats episode. Let me start by saying I admire your conviction. However, every time you talk about endorsing seeds you haven't tried, I think of an interview with Greg Peterson in which he theorizes that seed viability tables all originate from 1840s publication, The Southern Gardener by Mary Edgeworth. These facts were passed down to newer tables, but are based on anecdote. Contrast with the 1870s storage test of William Beale, whose seeds still sprout. A lot of good seeds get tossed because of guesses. So I think what he's getting at, a lot of it has to do with your soil and how they were stored and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's all going to play a role, but some of these big seed companies... As of late, I don't want to give the names out because I think they have done good work in the past. But, man, I'll tell you what, Danny at Deep South came down on like a ton of bricks. Your mom has privately. And these are some of the biggest seed companies out there. Some reason, I don't care what the reason is, man, you're sending seeds down the road that ain't working out for these people. The germination rate is not looking good on some of these companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously it all goes back to soil too. But when you have that's one thing about Heaven's Harvest, man, and I think may have something to do with this. Some people have said, well, they're being irradiated in the mail. I don't know about all that because I've sent a number of seeds through the mail, and nobody that I know of ever had a problem with it.
But it's also not being, or it's also not coming from a seed company.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it wouldn't be hard to, like, you find out the distribution center of the seed company. You just make the post office in that area scan the stuff. And that's only a couple post offices you'd have to do that at.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, all I know is that when they're making these claims, these survival seeds, man, I'm always going to come down like a ton of bricks on that. Yeah. All right, got one from Laurel. Good afternoon, Billy. Basically, she's talking about this episode 55, which I don't remember exactly. Was that the permaculture pimp daddy episode?
I can look it up real quick, but yeah, go ahead.
Anyhow, Lauren, I know you're having a tough time, you know, doing your thing, and you know, she's never been married, and she's out there making a life of it, doing the best she can, trying to, you know, carve out an existence. Hey, Lauren, just like we were talking about with these goals, you're gonna have to set some if you haven't already. And I know a lot of people are doing the best they can. You just have to keep at it.
Yeah, that was the permaculture pimp daddy episode.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure, seems like a number of people really resonated with that episode, but yeah.
I got one from Danny OTK154. Is it politically incorrect or is it truth? Talking about the Liberals versus Hood Rats. And I got another one from Strider47, #tipapimp, #catchjack.
Bam. Well, were you going to say what that was?
That's what it was. That's what he commented.
Oh, okay.
He's got. I mean, he has got a separate comment. I can go ahead and read.
No, well, I'll just respond to that one before.
Is it politically incorrect or is it truth?
It's both. I mean, in today's world, I mean, speaking the truth. I mean, what did Orwell say? I mean, you know, it's a revolutionary act to speak the truth when you live in a world of lies. And everything, I mean, nearly everything I thought I know or knew is a lie. And I'm finding that out about everything. And like I said before, the only thing I'm 100% sure about is that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, that he's exactly who he is and was and, you know, and will always be. Outside of that, I'm questioning just about everything. And I know that's a difficult thing for most people, but when it comes to these things within certain communities in Black America, it ain't. And like I said, there was a number of Black people that reached out and said, "Amen, brother."
Yeah.
This isn't culture. It is a lack of culture. And yeah, it was contrived to a certain extent, but good night, man. When I'm looking at what I saw out there is just a complete doggone embarrassment.
Yeah, we got it. Well, Strider 47 leaves a little teaser for us. He says, stay tuned, folks. Up next, Billy says freaking twice. MLK Jr. says nitrogen. William exercises people care with a couple of tactfully crafted questions. Hang on to your hat and say yeehaw, because it's time for a wild ride, nephew.
It's gonna get real, nephew.
Great show, guys. Thanks for being authentic and calling it like you see it. Keep up the great work. Hashtag tip a pimp, catch Jack, pluck around and find out. Guess they found out.
Yeah. And it's I'm just, look, y'all, we hit that level of depravity. And sadly, we know historically what that takes. So hopefully it doesn't take that. We got one from Johnny. I enjoy watching your videos on the chicken tractor on steroids. I'm planning on doing that with John Subskovich chicken tractor. Not sure how that would work within that system. Well, yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
Johnson Sue bioreactor?
No, John Subskovich. Yeah, I'd like to know. I'm not sure how that would work in the system. I'm sure you got it worked out, though. Anyway, he's basically got his stuff coming with with compost, starting a berry batch of blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, planted. Sounds like you're doing a lot of good things out there, Johnny. That's awesome. What we all got to be doing, too, and be thinking about also those perennial food systems. Those are going to be the ones that in the times to come, it's why I've been talking so much about it, and like the fruit tree and the grafting and all that stuff, y'all, you need passive food production, and I don't know that a lot of people are really talking about it right now.
I got one. This is from the YouTube channel, it's Permaculture Pimpcast. You can leave comments on there, and we'll pick them up and talk about them on the Pimpcast. This is from Miss Patriot. How the heck do they hide Stone Mountain? You can see the whole side of the mountain from the hotel across the lake. What the heck?
I'm telling you, you cannot. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is on that road, not one person there could tell me where this thing was. And when we had to cross railroad tracks. You had to go in this section where it's like an amusement park. It was behind a mini golf course, the whole nine yards. I'm like, how do you eat? There is not a single sign there that said, here's where you go to go look at this monument. They must have tore those down. I don't know what was up with that. So unless
she wrote it out, it's like how they hide a whole mountainside.
Yeah, I don't know either. I do not know. I do not know how they did that. But I'm telling you, there ain't a single sign pointing you to this thing.
Wow.
All right. So we got one from David. Hi, Billy. Thinking about getting some of that bone sauce to put on some pecan trees. I planted in late winter. I came across this information discussing bone sauce, and it said to apply in dormancy So you can put on bone sauce any time of year. It's always very best to do it when things are dormant because you can just put it on everywhere you need it. When it's not dormant and they're coming out of dormancy, just keep it on the brown. Don't get it on the green or the buds or anything like that. It won't kill anything. It'll make it wilt. It might kill that leaf. It's caustic to a certain extent, but not enough to harm your tree. So if you just keep it on the wood, but sometimes you got to get a small paintbrush. I mean, depending on the browsing height of your deer. And I've done it before. I've had to get up in there in between the leaves to put this stuff on. So
yeah.
It is what it is.
The homesteading pastor said he really enjoyed the podcast. Thanks for what y'all do. That was on the latest episode.
Oh, cool.
And then Big Daddy Don commented, Billy, you were saying what everyone else is thinking. I served 30 years in a ministry that served inner city areas. Every time we would serve, we would go home in despair because there was just no way we could make a difference with just a few hours a week.
I'm right there with you, man. And now we got generations where I remember, I don't even know what language is being spoken. I'm to that point. I don't even this is now a new language.
Yeah, like the ability to communicate is the most important part, and I don't think we can do that.
Well, there's that, and then also, how disabling, what are you doing to your kids? I don't understand. This is something I never understood in the hood. How is it you give your kid a name that nobody can pronounce? And these days, is a sufficient ghetto name is a complete without the misuse of punctuation marks like D, hyphen, Quan, apostrophe. Apostrophe in a name.
Yeah.
You want to use a punctuation mark? How about a question mark? How do you even pronounce half this stuff? And then you get mad when somebody can't pronounce it. But also, I'd like to know, why is it every single hood rat out there, you'll give these kids these ghetto names that will ensure they will push a mop for the rest of their lives, but you'll name your dog Bob.
Yeah, got names looking like Twitter handles and stuff.
Yeah. I barely understand that reference, but it was clever enough. No, I'm serious. Remember that one that was down in Texas? They named that kid Da Coldest. Coldest. Go look this up, y'all, if you think I'm joking. Da Coldest to ever do it.
Yeah.
Crawford. That was his real name.
Crawford.
Da Coldest. Now, okay, let's just say the rap world or the football world doesn't work out for him. I mean, how many people are going to look at us? I mean, I promise you, he's never going to be CEO of Microsoft.
Okay? He has to be a pimp if he's not a named Slickback. A pimp. that's his only chance.
Yeah, there's your chance. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't get it, man. Everything is backwards. I won't go down that road again. But honestly, folks, when you give your kids what you think are Afrocentric names, every African I've known, and I've known many, believe it or not, have biblical names. David,
yeah.
Samuel, every single African I've ever known, okay? So if you think you're giving them an Africanized name, well, think again, Jack, because you're not. You're only hamstringing these kids. All right, so anyway.
It's my turn.
Oh, I thought it was mine, but go ahead.
I got one from Tim O. Blake. Robert E. Lee, whose allegiance was to his God, his family, his state, then the Union, who turned the Confederate Army into the old gray fox, able to fight toe-to-toe with the entire might of the federal government. I respect real generals. I knew that I had a good feeling about Billy and William. Says the great-great-great-grandson of two Michigan volunteers, 16th Jardines and 23rd 27th Infantry.
Well, we attract some smart people out there, man. One of my favorite books out there on the shelf is a collection of quotes from Robert E. Lee. And you talk about some of the people that were most maligned, like people like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson and a number of others out there. And, you know, they saw this as a war of Northern aggression. Slavery had nothing to do with it. And it was a war of Northern, you know, like you're showing up to my town. I mean, Robert E. Lee, oh man, I could probably do an entire show on this. In fact, maybe I will in the future. As far as the real history regarding Lincoln and the Civil War and all these things that we think, when I said everything is a lie, y'all, I am talking everything you've been taught in history about these people you thought were so wonderful were not.
Yeah.
And I can prove it.
And slavery was never abolished. It was legalized. That was it.
Well, now we got a different kind of slavery, you know, where everybody is in, there are prisons that are within their homes now, you know,
yeah.
We have a new kind of slavery. Where I can't remember the guy's name. It was an Indian, a Native American. I think it was Apache. He said, we have new kinds of reservations now where they're even better than they were before. You know, in the American public, they live in a prison with walls they can't see and with bars that are invisible. He said, it's just a modern, you know, Indian reservation.
And here's your ankle monitor.
There you go. Yeah, it's called a phone. Yeah, that thing he's holding up right now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, audio guys.
Yeah, basically, we got one from Spencer here. He says, I got the deer velvet about a month and a half ago, and my old lady thought I was sterile for the longest time. What the? He says, what the heck all that has to do with anything, you might ask? Well, she's been baking three little biscuits for about a month now. I'm scared. I don't have a good father figure, and I'm about to be one. Nephew.
Hold on. You triplets?
Like, dang, boy, you talk about your million men are marching, nephew. I mean,
hey,
right
hold
out
on.
The gates.
There might be a correlation between this deer velvet stuff and babies.
Well, yeah,
there might be.
A lot of other people have had good luck with it, too, and I'd kind of slacked off for a little while, but I'm back in the saddle now. Man, you talk about, bro. Hey,
if I have a sibling popping up here soon, you know it works.
Yeah. Man, he says, I'd love to pay for it. Look, man, I don't take money for advice or anything. And he says, I became a homesteader because of you, Joel Salatin, and Jack Spearco. Well, man, I don't even know what to say to that, nephew. Look, hey, think about, we talked about goals on this program. Maybe being a good dad ought to be one of them. You didn't have a good dad. You know, my dad, I think, did the best he could under the circumstances between robbing KFCs and stuff like that. But, I mean, he straightened himself out, and there's more to that story. But anyway,
Well, yeah. Okay, so despite dad having not the best dad in the world, dad was the best dad in the world, so don't be worried. It is extremely possible, and there are people who have outstanding fathers who still turn out to be pieces of crap. Well, so there's thanks. That, too.
Well, thanks, son. I do appreciate that. I mean, you know, King David, man, Absalom was his son, you know? I mean, yeah. He was king. He had the heart of God, you know, and he still had an Absalom out there. So, hey, bro, but that's not to say, look, you got three in the oven. I don't know why I said that, man. Okay, he's probably as nervous as R. Kelly standing outside of a daycare right now. Okay, hey, make it a goal. You can be a good dad. Get in the word, maybe kind of lean back from calling your wife your old lady. That may not win you any. It's not going to win you any unwanted affection. But he said, man, she thought I was sterile. Next thing you know, you got three biscuits. Uneven numbers, bro. At least I built a whole pan. I mean, come on. Get it together, nephew.
That cracks me up. They went from nothing to triplets.
Triplets. Like, hey, man, you were firing blanks, and now your million men are marching. How about that?
I got one from Kristen Natvidge, I think. I can't really.
I'm sure they'll forgive you.
Yeah. But that mentality will blame everyone but who owns the behavior. Plus, our government feeds into the lies that everyone is out there to get them and hold them down. I have nothing against black folks. I have something against a behavior that comes from that mentality. Liberals are just as bad.
I'm right there with you. But I can give you some of the all, you know, the awful, dreadful statistics that Juan Williams, despite what he pretends to be on Fox News, he wrote some pretty incredible books regarding the behavior of black America. And then he's down there playing a role. So I have no respect for him anymore. But back when I had a little bit, I read his books and he had some pretty interesting things regarding these statistics. So, yeah, it's a crazy place for sure. Anyway, got one from Natalie and Denico. They have a YouTube called Our Brown Farmhouse. And he had a lot of wonderful things to say here. They're down in Florida. He said he'd like to meet one day. And anyway, farm where you live, that's going to be a good place. In fact, it's going to be the only place to catch me anytime soon. Because after that, y'all, you'll be able to find Bin Laden easier than you can find me right now. So, we got another one from, we're nearing the end of this thing. We got a lot of them. Hey, y'all, some of the real lengthy emails, I can't really read those on here, okay? I can't, I mean, it's just too much. I just can't do it, y'all. There's a lot of people asking about Comfrey. Yes, we got more in stock if you need it. And remember, the goal there, yes, we do sell it, but the goal is to get to the point where it can't be sold. We want to make this stuff so ubiquitous that, you know, when you try to give it away to somebody, you're like, nah, man, I got 10 of them at the house. There's all kinds of reasons why we could talk about that regarding Comfrey, regarding yourself, regarding, there's a reason it's called knit bone. There's a reason why you can feed it to your animals. There's a reason why the pharmaceutical industry wants to demonize this stuff. And
like, okay, I've got to bring this back up because it's incredible. That one woman who, her dog had almost a compound fracture.
Well, they wanted to amputate.
Yeah, and she, it's walking because of Comfrey.
Yeah, she sent that video to, I mean, she sent that, not video, but pictures. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me, man. Even though they wanted to sit here, she sat there, splint that bad boy up and made it happen. Well, don't stand between a pet mommy and her doggy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But hey, y'all, hope this has been a real blessing to you. Hope to see a lot of you next weekend. We're going to be at the Farm Where You Live Festival. Hopefully we got a table set up there. Hopefully I can make product. Hopefully a whole lot of wonderful things, but set lofty goals, y'all. I'm serious. Set lofty goals. You can do it. Until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.